Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Therapy Tuesday.
Well, a couple of things. First off, I thought Kevin and Ken did a really good job formationally on declaring Manor's own coverage for Jameis. And they did a very good job on doing some pre-snap declarations so that Jameis would know this. But
yeah, it was interesting last night. If you're listening to the game on the radio, too, they kept talking about the pre-snap movement for the Browns and their ability to kind of throw some different formations that they haven't seen, or at least Denver, maybe they haven't seen all season long too. So that was Greg Williams, come get some with Blake and Greg Williams, on TV these days. And then, that's their podcast. And, obviously a former Browns coach and was an interim coach here for a little while. It's funny, like when I talk about Greg, cause I've said this to Greg's face, like he's the guy you wanted to play for if you were playing, but I'm going to just I didn't want to ask him, but do you really think there were 39 fights in one practice after he took over the offense? 39. I mean, he was exact. He knew exactly how many fights there were in that practice.
Yeah, I feel like that's a little bit of a high number. I don't know. But when it's exact, it makes you question it. You go, 39 is a really weird number to pull out of your head, but also.
Yeah, that's weird. So maybe that made me believe him because he said 39. If he would have said, we had about 30 fights, I'd be like, okay, I definitely believe that. But the fact that he knew he had 39 exactly?
Yeah, like is that something that you kept track of, you tallied it, and you never forgot?
Well, you go back, they have a million cameras at practice, so maybe they went back and did it. I listen to Greg, and I love when he's on. I get all kinds of texts all day. People are like, oh, we love when you have Greg on. He's awesome. What else did you get out of that interview?
Well, I thought the stuff right there, actually, the pre-snap motion was something. Is that not something we hammered on for Kevin Stefanski, sort of? Almost an outdated offense of you never use pre-snap motion.
Right.
It's been coming to the NFL so largely because of exactly what Greg talked about. You can sort of identify the coverage. You move somebody around and the defense is going to have to adjust and sort of tip their hand. I think it was something that Kevin Stefanski got a knock for. It was something that bringing in Ken Dorsey, you expected to bring on that fix. And to hear Greg's view as a coach sort of point that out and hammer that home in a day where the offense looked really good, I think is really promising.
Let me ask you this question. And, you know, we're sitting here on a Browns Therapy Tuesday. And if you want to get it off your chest after watching last night's game, please feel free to do so. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Does last night change your mind about Kevin Stefanski? Like, I'm wondering if there are people out there going, I think Kevin's a bad coach. I don't think I've never felt that. I like Kevin. I think Kevin does a nice job. And I think that when you get into these games, that it sets the stage to say, wait a minute, look what Kevin's doing, right? Look what Ken Dorsey did last night. Like a week ago, we couldn't stand him. 2 weeks ago, before they beat Pittsburgh, you're like, oh, Ken Dorsey's got to go. I know there are a lot of fans out there that want to see Kevin go, too. I just, when I watch him and the success that you see offensively, again, the interceptions taking him back from both the quarterbacks that I'm about to talk about, but the success that he had with Joe Flacco, the success that he's having right now with Jameis Winston, does that not intrigue you to want to see him a little bit more? Does that not change your mind about, well, wait a second, you know, they're throwing the quarterback. The coach can only coach the folks that he's got, right? He can only coach the players that he has. You hear that a million times, especially when somebody gets hurt. You're like, well, next man up. I can only coach who's out here.
Yeah, I mean,
if you truly believe he didn't bring in Deshaun Watson, I don't know why you would be in a hurry to get him out of here.
Yeah, I think when you've seen Kevin Stefanski sort of handle an offense with everyone except for Deshaun Watson, it's looked good. And I don't, I guess I don't have a better way to put it when I look at Joe Flacco and Jameis Winston. I use the term like washed up, but I know they're not. Like washed up might have described what people felt about Joe Flacco. I don't think it really encapsulates what people felt
more
about
so
Jameis.
More so because he's older, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But like Jameis was sort of considered this, you know what you're going to get with him. Probably not going to be anybody's starter. He had some time in New Orleans, and it was like, yeah, he might be able to serve as a good backup. He's a guy that, if he has to step into a role, he might be able to give you that sort of spark that Joe Flacco gave you, right? A few games, he can look good for it. I just think Kevin sort of turned the narrative on those guys. He got Joe Flacco another contract. He went from sitting on his couch in October of a season to then playing for the Browns to then earning another contract on a different team where he was the backup and got an opportunity to start this year, not because of injury, but because the Colts felt that that was the better option at the time. Like, he turns narratives on guys, on everyone except for Deshaun Watson. I don't know how you look at Kevin Stefanski and think he's been a bad coach, not he was sort of dealt a bad hand with the entire Deshaun situation.
But I don't know that fans are looking at it. I don't think fans are saying he was dealt a bad hand. They just expect him to do whatever it takes, even last year with four quarterbacks, even this year with, again, like, I want this epiphany and I want this answer that, yes, someone decided the Browns, that they had to have Deshaun Watson and this is the way it was going to be, and that Kevin found himself stuck in the situation.
Well, then what are we doing? We're playing two sides of the coin. You say Deshaun's terrible, you got to get him out of here, he's not good enough, but then you're also saying, well, Kevin Stefanski should have figured it out. Only one of those things can be true at once. Like, if the quarterback is that bad, how do you expect the head coach to figure it out?
Well, that's why he's the head coach. He's got to figure things out.
Well, he did. He benched him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you
I guess he didn't bench Deshaun, but Deshaun got injured, and you turn to Jameis, and now he's got it figured out. Same thing happened last year. Deshaun gets injured, you turn to Joe Flacco after trial runs with DTR and P.J. Walker, but you turn to Joe Flacco and things are figured out. You give him a quarterback that is more prototypical to the type of offense that he likes to run. Miraculously, things look good. Who would have thought? Who would have thought you give a quarterback his or a head coach his more style pick at quarterback and his offense seems to function better? You can't just expect a coach to be thrown any guy, even if it's a good quarterback. I don't think that's what you have in Deshaun, but even if you say this guy's a good quarterback, coaches get into the spots because they run a certain scheme. They know things that work. They have to stick to what they know works and what they do well. You can't just toss a guy like Deshaun who had no fit in the system and on top of it has not played well even when put into a situation to sort of excel and flourish at what he does well at and then go back and blame it on coach again. I don't think you can play both sides like that.
Well, I think fans are wanting to sit here and they're wanting, I mean, they still want to blame Kevin Stefanski. Ken Dorsey, I listened to the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland podcast and like there was one time where Daryl just came straight out and said, this has got to change. He can't be here anymore. And after you watch last night's game, can you truly say that? Because you know Kevin Stefanski didn't throw the pick six. You know Ken Dorsey didn't throw a pick six. That's on Jameis. And, you know, if there are folks that think, and I'll go back to what Mary Kay said to us earlier today, maybe we need to get on the slower train with Jameis when you start. You can sit here and be all excited about almost throwing for 500, but you also can't ignore the pick sixes. Now, again, Jaquan McMillan's pick six was unbelievable. And I don't know, that might have happened to any quarterback in the NFL. Okay? I get that one. But the third interception also is very bothersome. I think there are a lot of folks that look at that third interception and go, well, you didn't even put yourself in the chance to even have the opportunity to make an onside kick, to try to make the onside kick, because you forced the ball at the end. It was a bad decision. It just was.
Yeah, I don't think that's a reflection on Kevin Stefanski's offense, though. Like, again, you have to pick one side of it. It was bad quarterback play. It was really good quarterback play comboed with bad. You got Jameis Winston. Congratulations. You knew what you had, and you got it all wrapped up in one game. You got Browns records being set for passing yards in a game. You also got two pick sixes and a third interception to boot in an instance where you still sort of had a chance. I don't know. I just think you can't blame it all on Kevin. When he's had quarterbacks that have even been middle of the line, guys who could sort of put it together, the offense has looked good. And I think Ken Dorsey's done a good job to sort of freshen that up, liven it up, and make it look a little bit more new age than Kevin had it before.
Odyssey insider Jason LaCanfora is going to join us at 1 o'clock, so we will hear from him. And I'm not sure if you caught what he wrote what he wrote about Kevin Stefanski. We're going to tell you what it was when we come back, and then we're going to ask Jason about it at 1 o'clock. So it is a Browns Therapy Tuesday. Get it off your chest. We'll be talking to all of you when we come back. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps. And, of course, Jake Volnick is in today.